Thank you guys for this opportunity to preach and share what God's doing. And I was kind of joking around, but it's kind of the truth. This is really the second sermon I prepared. The first one apparently was no good. So then Jim started praying apparently about like 11 o'clock, and then we got it figured out. But I'm excited to go over this. This is the text we're going to be in is 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it's a text that's been coming up a lot in this phase that we're in. This is pretty much our last Sunday here. We'll be back February 14th, and then we have a Sunday together, and then we leave on the 22nd. A couple dates to remember is February 18th, Twin Peaks Community is hosting a missionary care training here. It's a one-day seminar on Saturday. Shepherd staff is coming up to put this on. And this is really for anybody that's missions-minded, that wants to kind of stay engaged in global missions and specifically in caring for missionaries. Obviously, I have a vested interest in this training, so I hope you all come. But it's just kind of talks about some of the ups and downs that missionaries go through, what churches can do, what individuals can do to care for missionaries in the field. And then February 19th, we're going to do our farewell potluck and then a worship and prayer night. That's Sunday night. We're going to do that here. There'll be more details Megan's going to be putting out on that while we're gone. But as I said, this is kind of surreal that we're jumping in the truck on Tuesday to head to Colorado. In the foyer, we got all sorts of, we're officially missionaries now. We have our magnets. We've arrived. But we have all sorts of little stuff that we got on the table for Guatemala Deaf Ministries. And then at one of the churches we shared at up in Atascadero, it's kind of special. There's this guy that his little hobby ministry is making leather keychains. He's got a pretty incredible story that we don't really have time to get into. But so he makes these keychains, and he gave us a bag full of Spanish ones and English ones to just kind of give out. But so hopefully you guys would take some of those and use them as reminders to be praying for us when we're gone. Let's go ahead and stand for the scripture reading. Our reading this morning comes out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. I'll read the white, and then you guys can read the gold. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple.
He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor.
And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them.
But you are not like that. You are a chosen people.
You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. For he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we get this opportunity to gather, to give attention to your word, and to really to hear directly from you. Lord, I pray that as we get through this, that I would slip back and that it would be your spirit and your words coming forward. That you would have divinely worked out the time of study and preparation for a message for our church family that is specific to what you are calling us to. Holy Spirit, would you please clear away the distractions, give me focus, and help me to stay on track, and that we would really hear from you. Father, please be with Ryan and Annabelle, and just for the situation that is going on with his unjust detainment, and for the separation that family has been going through. Father, thank you for the coerce that they are willing to to serve you and to work so hard and to sacrifice so much to serve those that are bringing the gospel to the unreached. Father, would you please work in the law and the systems that would release Ryan? Would you please protect him? Would you bring him a perfect cellmate that he can love and serve and respect and hopefully share the gospel with? Would you give him favor with the guards and comfort Annabelle and the boys? Over 8 weeks now, Father. This is much longer than we anticipated. Continue to strengthen them and give them grace. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, and what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This really is a great privilege of mine to preach. I look forward to the opportunity that Pastor Mike gives me. It's fun to be working on this and to work at this gift of communicating God's word. When we came to this church just 5 years ago, we had no idea what was in store for us. We often joke that when we came to this church, we had just broken out of the Calvary Chapel movement. We loved our time in that movement and have no regrets whatsoever, but we felt like we were coming home in more ways than one when we joined this church. We were a little tired. We made the transition just out of coming from a pastoral internship and transitioning from the Navy as a chaplain candidate. We were being led towards a season of rest and restoration, especially after Sarah's mom had just passed. And you guys gave us that. So often we tell this story when we describe our little mountain country church. That one Sunday early on when we were visiting, is all of our kids were here, and I think Pastor Mike had some family in town. So there was a lot of kids for Kids Corner. And Pastor Mike just made a comment as they were being dismissed, is that's a lot of kids. They might need some help. And just immediately several ladies jumped up to go help with the kids. And you guys, that was such a relief to us that we weren't being pressured into signing up on a clipboard for children's ministry just because we had young kids. Later on, yes, we got engaged with children's ministries. Kara and Sarah, they led it for a season and helping out from time to time. And we did the youth ministry for a little while. I'm sorry, Nicholas and Legers, for the foot incident. But we gave it a go, and we were able to do the trail life with the Mortons and the homeschool thing. So we really just needed a season of rest. But to have your guys' covering and blessing during that time was huge. To have that time with our family at such a young age was a huge win for us. To where we could come in as a family and learn to worship and learn to do communion together and to enjoy the church family. It's been super special here. And so many of the families here have been taking care of us for much longer. The first time I preached, it was really awkward because there was a lot of families from the Community Baptist Church days. And so I get up there and it's kind of this realization that half the church is either called the sheriff or called my parents or changed my diapers at one point. So it's been a real privilege to be on the other side of all this. But even in this moving, we're just flipping through all of our personal stuff and sorting things out, I found a bunch of cards from my first tour in Iraq. You guys wrote me a bunch of cards, and Carl wrote me a card, Gene Newcomb, and just some of these guys that were heroes of mine to encourage me. And then I still get to be a part of that family. And so you guys have been taking care of us forever, it seems. But to be able to have this time with Grandpa and with the family and with so many of you guys has been special. Pastor Mike, thank you for giving me so many opportunities to grow and to be challenged in my engagement in church. I'm sure I most likely wore you out with being such a nut about church things, but I've learned and changed so much because of your leadership and your covering over our family. Rick Wilsey and Ann, you guys have to be some of the most productive retired people I have ever met. To watch you and to learn from you guys and seeing a true example of just humbly serving the church has been a game changer for us. You guys have given us a new perspective of retirement. Thank you for sticking your neck out for me and letting me serve on the board as an elder. That was such a special work for me. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And that was really sad. Our last meeting was just a week ago or whatever. But thank you for believing in me and giving me some space to learn. And for the other guys on the board, I've learned so much from you. To go through these last couple of years and to watch you guys make decisions, dealing with the government, COVID, and church, and bringing on Pastor Jonathan and whatnot, this has been huge in our life and our ministry, and will continue to go on. Church, we are so blessed to have such a united board that is so in love with the people of the church, and have such a genuine care for the ministry that takes place here. To have these solid guys overseeing the ministry here has been super special. I wish I would have realized something was up earlier this year. I probably should have taken note when God was leading us to sell our Schenectady. I love that boat. That was like my dream to get that boat. But God was leading us even back then when we had no idea what was around the corner. And then we, looking back now, we see so many of those steps, so many little things that God was leading and preparing for us for even just this step. And that's really what this is, isn't it? It's just the next step. It's not the last step or a final mountaintop experience, but this is just humbly trying to serve and love God the best that we can. And this is just the next step for our family. This last 18 weeks has been such a whirlwind. Sarah and I were confident in our hearts that we were being led to Guatemala with the Somervilles. Exactly 125 days ago, on August 29th, Sarah and I committed to this work, something that the Lord was leading us to do. So in true Johnson fashion, we eased into the transition. No. We immediately commenced train wrecking our lives. We got rid of everything, the house, the job, the truck, the dirt bike, the toys, the dog. We have turned over all of our positions in the different ministries we are a part of, and have been trying to have as many meaningful goodbyes as possible. We are honestly in a bit of a daze, and I know that we have not been as smooth as we probably should have been, or as sensitive as some of you guys have needed. I should have been more sensitive to most likely our family and some of our close friends. It's been hard and a little difficult to process all this with you guys, even as we're kind of freaking out about it ourselves. Jeff, my father-in-law, has been a huge in all of this. When any person in their right mind should be mad at me for taking his daughter and grandsons away, he has sacrificially given so much to help us get going and to make this happen. He has gone above and beyond to make this as easy as possible on the boys. He has gone way out of his way to help us and to open his home up to us and taking care of so many little details for us. Thank you, Jeff. We couldn't have done it without you. And to Travis and Katie, you guys are incredible at how much you've served us in these last 4 months. You guys have walked by us, heard all the crazy conversations, and pretty much just kept your mouth shut and let us vent on you over and over. But also to you guys, our church family, so many of you have jumped in and joined on the financial support team right away, and you have helped us in so many other ways too. Yes, we are the ones going, but we are only able to do this because what you have all done. We did it, guys. You guys have given us everything that we need, the minimum we needed in financial support to step off. Now, let's be honest. It's missions work. And as a ministry, we are engaged in a tremendous building project, so it will always be a financial black hole. But for right now, our needs have been met, and we're moving forward. You guys are awesome for how many of you have sought us out to support us. Thank you for everything you have done and that you have given, all the patience and the love and support you have showed us, not just in this season, but in our lives, in our entire lives. We are really standing on your shoulders, and you are really launching us forward. We can only do this because we know that you have our backs and you are holding the line for our family. This really is several of the preachers. I need to try to stay to my notes. It's going to be painful, but I got to try to stay to my notes. So there might be some of these rough transitions here. Several of the preachers I studied under always started the sermon with a catchy story, just that personal touch to pull you into the text. But guys, you are that story. The way that you guys have modeled this biblical principle we're going to talk about, it's you guys. It's the love and the care that you've shown the boys and Sarah and I. The text is 1 Samuel 30. We just went through this, so it should be pretty fresh. But specifically, this is the setting. The setting of this is when David is leading his rough riders. He's been on the run from Saul for quite a while. They've been in the wilderness and then even as far as into the Philistine territory. At this point, David was actually serving a Philistine king. This is a really dark time in David's life. He's basically lost his identity. We don't read much of him seeking the Lord during this phase. It's a short little blurb. But I can't imagine the heartache and the turmoil that he was in during this phase. When the Philistine commanders had assembled and were going to go against Israel, they gathered together and they were nervous that David was with them. Because they were saying, well, this is how he's going to get back into favor with the king. We can't have him go to war with us. So David's sitting there with his 600 men ready to fight against Israel, against his family. He's totally lost himself. And luckily, King Achish, this pagan king, says, David, you got to go. You're not going to be able to go to war against us. And so David gets a bye on this battle, and he's sent out. So him and his men go marching back to their hometown, Ziklag. When they come back, remember what happened? The Amalekites had already attacked and completely burned down his town. They took all of their children and their wives and plunder and had marched on. David's men were out of control. They were about ready to stone him. And so for the first time in a long time, it said that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Then, for the expedience of time here, David then gathered his men and led strong to pursue the Amalekites and to get everything back and their families. But what is interesting is that he had to pursue the enemy. It was definitely an attack, but God had allowed him, had directed him to do this. But 200 of his guys were too tired to continue the pursuit. So 400 of his guys dropped their packs down, left it with the 200, and the 200 stayed in the rear. Then the 400 guys ended up going all the way, pursuing the Amalekites and getting every single wife and kid back and a bunch of their plunder. And we got to jump into the text here in verse 22. They've already gotten everybody and they've come back to it, to the 200 that have been sitting by the river. Verse 22, but some evil troublemakers among David's men said, they didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and their children and tell them to be gone. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders and that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. From then on, David made this decree in the regulation for Israel, and it is still followed today. Isn't this neat what happens? Remember, these guys are like the gnarly biker types, the outlaws, the warriors, kind of the cowboy type guys. But David leads them strong and gathers them together and sets up this whole new precedence. Even though the 200 guys were not on the front lines, they were included in the exact same reward as the 400 that went forward. This mentality, this mindset, is a unique warrior code that has been established from this point on. And notice that this has to be a decree that is still followed by God's people today. I want to point out a couple other details in this passage. Look in verse 23. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given. Who gets the credit for this great rescue operation? For the families and the plunder. The 400 guys? No, not according to God, to David. It was the Lord who gave them back. I think that if we are honest, most of us view our possessions, our successes, our families, or whatever we have accomplished as things that we have got out of our own effort and work. Even in something as much as a straightforward rescue operation like this, we don't read about any divine intervention besides God allowing David to go. David pointed to it being the Lord, not the 400 that were successful. It was the Lord's work. I'll be the first one to admit this. So many of my accomplishments I treat as the results of my good choices or rewards or my hard work. I don't automatically default to genuinely giving the Lord the credit for the generous gifts he's given me. Sure, I throw in a thank you, Lord, at the end of an accomplishment or a cliche saying to try to polish it up for church people. But I think that often my default is more a pride in my abilities and accomplishments. David could have easily taken the credit for this little rescue mission, especially since he was needing to build back some of that street cred or that equity with his guys. But he clearly gives the Lord the credit for what he had provided. So often in my devotion time in the mornings, I know that this is the reality with me, that I take more credit than I should. And so I try to start my days off by giving the Lord the credit and getting my head right first. I've made a habit to often start my prayers with this little rhythm of working through things. I thank him first for creating me, and I thank him for calling me. I thank him for saving me. I thank him for sanctifying me. And I thank him for leading me, and thank you. I thank him for using me, and then I thank him for what I have in front of me that day. This little exercise just walks all of my life before the Lord, before I start my day. And I often do start my day with that prayer. This little exercise seems to help me stay in the right mindset by thanking him and giving him credit for everything. He is good, and we ought to be praising him for all the goodness he shares with us. Being thankful is good, but just like so many things of the faith, it's first the mindset, but it's all about the action that follows. David is not only trying to encourage his guys to see that it was the Lord who gave them success, but he is the one that has kept them safe in this conquest. He doesn't point out their strength or their capability of the 400, but he points out that it was the Lord's doing. The action comes next. The Lord gave them success and safety so that they could share it with others in the family of God. This is true for us too. We can be selfish with all that we have, or we can share with the rest of God's people. Remember that catchy little story in the beginning that was supposed to be like the icebreaker and bring you in? Well, that is you guys. You have done that. You guys have loved and served and gave so much to us, to the missionaries, who then will share with others not only the good news, but their own lives too. Well, that's the action. This is like a slam dunk sermon because you guys are already doing it. The church, this is what we are doing. We are giving God credit and praising him, thanking him for the generosity and the safety, and then turning around and sharing it with others. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Church, this is what we do. We keep at it. We are all priests of sorts in God's faith family. We are all stones of this holy temple. Now, what we've done in this last 125 days, I honestly don't wish on any of you. It's been brutal train wrecking your life like this. It's a lot of work, way more emotion than I ever want to process. To say goodbye and to get rid of all this stuff is no fun. But we all have a role in this. Some of us are to be a part of the 400 and go forward. And some of us are supposed to hold down the fort, to be in the rear with the gear. 1 Corinthians says, "But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we share in this same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." Yes, church, that's us, one body. We will always need missionaries, but we really need people in the rear keeping the things going and holding the line. The precedence that David set here with the people of God is that the same reward goes to those of you that stay and those of you that go. It's all about the one Spirit that binds us together. It's not about one part being better than the other or one part doing more than the other. We're all part of this holy temple that God is building. We have a job to do and a position to hold down. There's different roles, yes, and each of those roles require different tools and different postures, but they all take the same level of commitment. Just because we're being led to go to the front and it seems that we are all in, the truth is that you guys should be just as committed and just as much all in. The Lord has given you not only the breath in your lungs and keeps your heart beating, but He is the one that gives you all of your successes and the safety you have. When Jesus was addressing the crowds in Luke 14:27, He said, "And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." Note that Jesus was addressing the crowds, not just the crazy missionaries, but He was addressing all the followers of Jesus. And then also, did you hear the words? Your own cross. We are not all to be martyrs, missionaries, pastors, Sunday school teachers, but whatever role it will be, it takes that same level of full commitment. There will be marks and suffering and sacrifices associated with each role. We do worship a suffering Savior. No one follower is immune to it. If you are the one that is in the rear with the gear, you ought to have the same mindset as those on the front lines. If you're being called to go to the front lines, you can't be held down with the extra baggage. In 1 Peter 4, it says that God has given each of you a gift, a variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Church, we are doing this. Let us double down and commit even more to our individual roles. Let us each seek the Father's will for each one of our lives and not hold anything back. We are empowered and protected and gifted so that we can share with others. We are a part of this great rescue mission. The mission of God redeeming humanity and calling out His holy priesthood from the peoples of the world. We need to continue to be a church that pours out and shares our safety and our success with those who don't have it. God is building a church here, but He is also building a church with the deaf people in Guatemala. He has led us to step out in this work, to go forward. But where is He leading you to jump in and share? What role can you play? What part of your load can be lightened to give you greater capability in this rescue mission? What can you do to support those that maybe are on the front? Do you see how no one is exempt from engaging in this rescue mission? We are all called to share with others and to be engaged in this work as holy priests. It is going to take an all-out effort. There is no role for being half in or just a spectator. The call to follow Jesus is personal to each of us, and we each have a personal burden to carry, a personal cross. Let 2023 be a year that we can double down with a new ambition to give the Lord credit for all that He has done, to share more generously, and to engage deeply in the great rescue mission. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have called each of us, that you are working in our lives, even when we don't see it, preparing us and gifting us with these different resources and abilities to be used for your glory. Father, forgive us when we take credit for the successes and the safety that we have. We understand and we know in our minds, and we ask for the faith to believe it in our hearts, that everything has come from you, that you are our great success and you are our greatest safety. There's nothing that we can do on our own. Father, thank you that this church has been such a blessing to my family and to so many of the families that are engaged. We pray that we would be a people that is marked, that are marked for sharing generously with others. Please give us wisdom in how to share, how to engage in this mission, in this rescue mission. Father, we want to be found as obedient, faithful people. That's who you are. We love you and thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.